webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Thank you, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It is hump day, Wednesday, August 24th, 2011, the only August 24, 2011 in the history of humanity. It is a historic night, beautiful humans. Glad to have you along for the ride. Welcome in on this Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. It is 9 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America, which we've had a lot of excitement and are having a lot of excitement, which we will be talking about as we progress on this here webcast. You are cordially invited to join us by calling toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening outside North America, you can call us, too, at 813-425-5773. Holy mackerel. We heard a disaster in the background. What the hell happened? Michael!
I'm here.
What? All right, what happened? Oh, we lost Michael. Now, it is possible that that may have been a lightning explosion in Houston, because a apocalyptic-like storm is coming into Houston, we were informed. Usually the storm is here in the Bay of the Holy Spirit here in Tampa Bay, Florida. But Michael informed us that he might be knocked offline at any moment because of bad weather. I think he's back with us. Michael, what happened?
Here I am.
What happened?
Well, a big old lightning bolt in my backyard. And the fact that the power's still on, I'm really surprised. So, but it just dropped the call was all.
Oh, well, that's good.
So, yeah, I didn't lose my internet, but it's we are in our first big storm this year, actually. Been waiting on this a long time. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, we know that you love the storm. And probably the reason that you first got into the gospel, because you love the storm.
Well, I remember my life actually was filled with absolute terror of storms from childhood all the way up and through my 30s, actually. And the changes that have come in me, I mean, this is just one of the many, many changes. And one of them actually is this, and I was terrified of storms, absolutely terrified of them. And I just can't think of a more soothing thing in the world than to be in the middle of a big big thunderstorm. So this is really wonderful.
Well, glad
I'm enjoying myself.
I was going to say, I'm glad that you're enjoying yourself. We had our storm earlier in the evening. It was pouring, just cats and dogs, but the sun was out. And it was really, I was looking for the rainbow. Oh, there's another one. Little thunderbolt, lightning strike.
We have sound effects tonight.
We have sound effects, as we often do, ladies and gentlemen. We were enjoying the storm at home on Osprey Lake, and Carla said it reminded her of the Philippines, where the sun is out and the rain is pouring. The phones
now
are
that,
ringing. What?
That, we were told when I was a kid. That means the devil is whipping his wife.
The devil is whipping his wife.
Yeah, when the sun's out and it's raining, the devil's whipping his wife. I wonder if anybody else has heard that before.
I did not know the devil had a wife.
Oh, well, in Tennessee, I suppose we gave him one.
Well, we know that the Lord Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, has a wife. It's called the Bride of Christ. That is the entire planet, we found out. as we have been walking down this path known as the Gospel Revolution. Glad you are amongst those that are the bride. Another member of the bride, Mr. Sean O'Halloran, is waiting to take your calls at 1-800-436-3260. That's a toll-free number, 800-436-3260. In the U.S. and Canada, that's the toll-free number. Outside and all over the world at 813-425-5773. That's the number to call if you're listening outside North America. 813-425-5773. And if Michael goes away because of all the thunder and lightning in the background, you will know what is happening tonight. And a man that is a man that knows what is happening at all times is calling us now from the aforementioned great state, the Volunteer State of Tennessee, from Manchester to be specific. Please welcome online the poet laureate of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Jackie Barnard. Jackie!
Hey, guys, how are you?
Jackie, what a pleasure to hear. Jackie, I miss you.
I miss you too, brother. I'm still thinking about the summit. The highlight of my life, it was just the most wonderful thing. And I believe it was Ray Harris who first said that it was homecoming. And that got me to thinking, you know, when we leave this body or whatever, we're not going anywhere. We're already there.
Yeah.
Michael, Jackie, listen to this. Michael, you noted to me the other day that physics has already proved the existence of eternal life.
Yes, on every level, spiritually and physically, actually.
Please explain.
There's three things that cannot be created and cannot be destroyed according to physics. One is matter. Matter cannot be destroyed. It can be transformed, but it cannot be destroyed. Water, no one's ever created or destroyed a drop or a molecule of water. And energy cannot be created. It can only be transformed. Like all the energy we're seeing here, all of this started someplace else and transformed into what we now are experiencing in this tremendous lightning and thunderstorm and rain that we're having here in Houston. So the best I know, that pretty well takes care of the entire human being. In water, I think we're over 80% water or something like that. And then matter and energy, the energy field that's in the brain. And according to physics, that's never going to end. That it can be, it will transform, but it can't end. And I found that really intriguing. I was doing a little bit of a research about energy, and I'd known the fact about water for a couple of decades or so. That it kind of came across my thinking that. Fact that there's not a drop more water here now than any other time in history. That nobody knows when somebody created water or made more of it or took any away. It can simply be take on different forms. It can evaporate. It can do a lot of things. It can freeze, but it cannot be destroyed. So, yeah, I thought, Jackie, that was really interesting. And then you said that we're not really going anywhere. We're already there.
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to mention one other thing, and you probably are going to have a lot of callers tonight. It seems like there's such a tremendous surge of interest and activity amongst the Gospel Revolution crowd. But one of the things that I believe is the... I know it caused me a great deal of torture and pain back in my church days, but one of the most torturous traps of evangelical Christianity is trying to find the will of God for your life. And I'm happy to say that if someone asked me today, do you know God's perfect will, I can answer with a surety, yes, I know him, and better than that, he knows me.
Yeah.
So
That's really about all I had to cover. Hold on, Jack,
because I got something I need to say to you. But Michael, talk to the beautiful humans around the planet about what the understanding is of the will of God.
Well, the will of God, of course, there are many types and shadows of it before the cross, and many people were chosen, nations were chosen, especially the nation of Israel, to pursue and seek after the will of God. And the mystery of the whole thing was that the mystery of the will of God was Jesus Christ. That mystery was unfolded.
Huh?
What, Jackie?
I said, yes, not a what, but a who.
Exactly.
Yes,
yes, exactly.
The will of God is no longer a what, it is a who. And the will of God was that in Christ we would all be one, including him. He didn't want to be left out. So in Christ, God gathered in Christ all together in one. It is the most dynamic and beautiful picture that anyone could possibly see, that God himself and the entire human race in the body of one man became one. Jew and Gentile, remember there were only two groups in God's eyes at that time. You were either a Jew or you were a Gentile. And Paul explained in great detail how that as Jesus himself was nailed to the cross, then the law was nailed to the tree. And that very act drew into his very body every human being, broke down the wall of division between God and man, Jew and Gentile, between them and between God. And absorbed into the body of Jesus was God, Gentile, and Jew. All in one. The will of God is Jesus Christ. And in that one, when Jesus died, we all died. When Jesus rose from the dead, we all rose from the dead. We were all born of the Spirit 2,000 years ago.
And that's not
such a powerful view of the will of God that just cannot be disputed.
Not only can it not be disputed, it cannot be denied from a new covenant perspective. This is not something that we made up. This is something that we read in the New Testament writings. The will of God, the Bible says, is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. If you want to know what the will of God is, folks, it is Yeshua. It is Jesus Christ. It is not should you turn left or right at Oak Street. It's not if you if you should get married or if you have a certain job or if you go into full-time ministry or if you should, what else should you do? If you should wear a brown or blue shirt. It's like so much of evangelical Christianity, Michael. The concept that the will of God is something that you do is such an insult to the work of the cross and the work of Christ.
The you know, Jackie, you put the exact right perspective not only on this topic but every topic of the Bible and
well,
of the scriptures, especially.
As far as the east is from the west, that's how God does everything.
Absolutely.
And that universal human migration into the body of Christ on the cross, into the grave, and to rise again the third day.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's powerful, Jackie. We never heard it said that way. The human...
I haven't either. Where does this stuff come from?
We know where it comes from. We know where it because deep speaks
to
deep.
There is so much more to know, and I was anxious about it up until just a few months ago. You know, I wanted to be wise like Mike and bold like Glenn, but you know what? I am where I am. I'll be where I'll be. I'm just identifying with my identity. All of this stuff is in me. It's in every single individual. I'm not special.
Preach it. Preach it, brother.
You're special by not being special.
The human migration. That's the title of tonight's webcast, Jackie. I can tell you that right now.
Here's the rest of this story. Just like Jackie said, the what became a who. And I said that's virtually every topic of the scriptures. Judgment became a who.
Yes.
All judgment came into the body of Jesus Christ. What an insult for Pat Robertson to talk about judgment outside the body of Jesus Christ. What an insult.
Man.
I don't care who it is, Peter, James, John, Paul. The scriptures are so clear about judgment and the body of Jesus Christ. I just, you know, I'm through with being passé at all about any of these prophecies or prophets of judgment or a second judgment day or a great white throne judgment or some other judgment. I'm sorry. Jesus is Lord, and all whats became a who 2,000 years ago. And we're dealing with one individual now. We're not dealing with a multitude of individuals around the planet. We're dealing with one individual. And we know the identity of that individual, and it is powerful.
Well, Horton heard a who, and the Gospel Revolution heard a who, and the who is salvation, ladies and gentlemen. The who is Yeshua. The who is the Lord of the universe, the Lord and Savior of all humanity. This is very good news for you tonight. This is to the saving of your soul. This is Glenn Klein Online. We've got Michael Williams in a thunderous Houston, Texas. Jackie Barnard in beautiful Manchester, Tennessee. We hope to hear from you tonight at 1-800-436-3260. 800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran's got a line available for you. You can call outside the U.S. and Canada at 813-425-5773. So Jackie sent to us his beautiful poem on the new wineskin. And Jack, we may have to wait till our next email extravaganza, which will be coming up soon. But because of callers, we're taking callers, of course, as always, the first priority. But stay logged on for that, folks, because you're not going to want to miss that. That was beautiful. And the other thing, Jack, is that we had such a good time and such a incredible experience at the Gospel Revolution Summit. It is so wonderful. I can totally picture you right now. I mean, Michael, you talked about that we never really see ourselves in the third dimension, but I can see Jackie in all three dimensions now, and that's a powerful thing.
No, that's very true, and I just wanted to say to you, Jackie, thank you for coming to my home and to the summit. You were such a not just a welcome guest, but your words and your heart was welcome. And I honestly, now this is the truth, I don't think I've gotten in my car and drove one single time since you were here that I didn't think about you.
So. That's a cheap shot.
Let me
make a play on words. let me make a play on words. I'm going to find out how far the east is from the west. I'm going to visit Arizona at the end of September.
Well, see, Jackie and Billy Thompson went on a souvenir journey in Houston, and what should have been about, I don't know, maybe an hour round trip turned into about a 3-hour round trip, and thankfully, you had Jeff Robertson navigating you back to Michael's home, or you guys may never have gotten back. One more thing, Jack, is that Carla mentioned to me that you on Facebook asked her to give me a kiss. And,
for me.
Right, and Geo Howell asked her to give me a kiss. And so her question is, why do men like to give me a kiss? And my whole response is, honey, it's a holy kiss. It's a holy kiss.
Just trying to help you out so you can get more kisses.
I appreciate that, brother. I really do. All right, Jackie.
Well, look, they're not paying me to talk to you guys, so I better go back to work. Talk to you later. Oh, thank you, guys. Right.
Jackie, love you.
Jackie Barnard, apparently at work this evening, calling the Gospel Revolution webcast. Now that line is available for you. Get Sean O'Halloran off of playing solitaire or whatever the hell he's doing at 1-800-436-3260. That is the toll-free number, and that is your cue to give us a call, 1-800-436-3260. We're taking a lot of calls tonight, 813-425-5773 outside the U.S. and Canada. We're going to be hearing from Katrina Benham later on in the broadcast, hopefully. So stay logged on for that. So I'm getting ready to go to the summit, And I'm not feeling very well. I was kind of run down, and this happens to me about once a year. So I brought with me to Houston a regimen of antibiotics that I have just in store just in case. And about once a year, I need to do this. And sure enough, we get to Houston on Friday. And on Saturday morning, I decided, you know, my phlegm was discolored enough, and you know, I needed to go on antibiotics. So I do the Z-Pack, and I do a couple on Saturday morning. I do one Saturday night. I do one on Sunday morning, and I finish the regimen. And, Michael, about, I don't know, 4 or 5 days later, I truly felt like I was getting depressed. And not depressed from situational depression, folks, which everybody gets, where your situation is bumming you out, and you just, I had no reason to be bummed out, but as you beautiful humans that have listened to the webcast long enough know that both Michael and I have dealt with clinical depression throughout our life, and I was oh so familiar with the symptoms. And so I called my life coach and owned that I was feeling this way, and he was pretty surprised, but not shocked. And but I said, this is how I'm feeling, and it's just kind of strange that it's coming on me. Next day, my life coach called me. A good life coach will follow through, folks, and see how his person is doing, his or her person. And I said I was feeling just as bad, and talked about that, you know, I'd come off this illness and that the antibiotics seemed to have cleared up my congestion. And for some reason, my life coach chose at that moment to Google antibiotics and depression. Why did you Google antibiotics and depression, Michael? I'm really glad you did. Because we learned something, and I want to share this with you folks, because we found out that, and I mean, Michael and I on stuff like this especially are pretty plugged in. But we learned something that day, didn't we, life coach?
Most definitely. And I honestly cannot give you a clue as to why that I did, unless it was just the correlation between those two. I wanted to see if there was any connection. Because you were talking about two things, and one was taking the antidepressants, and you and I have walked through a lot of things together.
The antibiotics, not the antidepressants.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the antibiotics. And so, you know, you're always looking to see, you know, if you're wanting to be of a help to somebody, you're always looking to see, you know, is there something here that, you know, we're missing. And for some reason that just popped into my head, and we Googled it and found that indeed antibiotics, many forms of antibiotics can cause an onset of depression within just a few days or even hours after beginning a regimen of antibiotics. So that was new to me. And there was a tremendous amount of blogs about it and people who were saying they had experienced that. And so we discussed it, and I guess that seems to have been the key to that, because the regiment was over, and it seemed like you began to come out of that brief depression quite quickly after that.
Well, and I did take steps, and this is you guys need to know this, because everybody takes antibiotics, and what we found out from that research, from that Googling, is that there were literally scores, I mean hundreds, of people that had reported, even within hours, as Michael said, of taking antibiotics, that it was experiencing depression. And then I started thinking back to my life and how much antibiotics I had taken. And who knows how much that had an effect. But you need to know that, folks. And I started taking steps to counteract the antibiotics, which I had done before and many times before, which I do for my children, which is because the antibiotics destroys bacteria, it does not discriminate between good and bad bacteria. You have good bacteria in you that is very essential in the digestion process. And we know the elimination process is very important in health. And so you need to go on acidophilus after you take a regimen of antibiotics to replace the flora in your system, which I had started to do. And sure enough, with between that and a couple other supplements, and just maybe just knowing what was happening potentially, I certainly started feeling better. And the sense of depression left me. The other thing that I did was, because I was feeling so emotionally down, I called the administrator of the Gospel Revolution, Jeff Roberts, and I said, Jeff, I need some new CDs. Please send me the latest teachings, because I haven't gotten them recently. And Jeff said, I think I sent them to you. And I said, well, maybe in my move I misplaced them. And I mentioned that to Michael, and Michael said, Glenn, just put on some of the CDs you have. And I thought, that's a really good idea. And I got to tell you, beautiful humans, and Michael, I got to tell you that I was listening to your teaching from the 2008 Gospel Revolution Convention.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been listening to that, and also the music that Greg Ambergy and Chris Harrington and Tim Pruitt, and we had a tremendous band at the Gospel Revolution Convention.
Yep, we did.
In Houston in 2008. And I have to tell you, and Carl has heard it in the car, it has saved our soul. And it oh, my God, it works. Michael, the recitation and the rehearsal and the meditation of the gospel will save your soul.
It really works. As you know, it's kind of like the resolution when I came to the point and I was in the Word of Faith Church, and I had rehearsed a lot of Word of Faith doctrine and what they said, and then I read verses in context, such as the verse that says that out of Proverbs that says, by that the life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they took that into every area of life. Well, I went back and I researched that, and I found out that he's talking about when you're standing in the presence of the king. When you're in front of a king, life and death are in the power of your tongue. Say the wrong thing and you could die. Say the right thing and you'd be granted to live. So those, but I went through, really a plethora of verses out of context that I had preached as Word of Faith. And I remember at the end of it, Glenn, I stood up and it was like, it was so brimming over in me, and the people were, they were just like, bam, 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 this verse after verse that was put in context. And finally, I just yelled out loud, it don't work! And then I did it again, and before, I mean, this was like an altar call, everybody in the church was standing and yelling, it don't work.
Right.
And freedom was coming to these people. But I can tell you as emphatically that I could tell you that Word of Faith doctrine does not work. The gospel does work. It will save your soul. I have absolutely no teaching to tell you how the gospel will change your finances, change your health. Zero.
We do have a teaching. We tell you that it will not.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the gospel in and of itself, folks, won't do anything for you.
No.
Except stabilize your soul.
Yeah, and whatever effect that has
exactly
on your ability to make finances or your ability to be well. Then that is the indirect effect. Indirectly, the gospel affects everything.
Right.
However, the gospel is there to affect the mind. The mind. That is what needs to be saved, is the mind. Now, I know it sounds a little bit adolescent that I'm spelling things here, but that is how poignant we have to be with the power of this message and as to what it saves. What does the gospel save? The gospel is the power of God. Well, I want the power of God in my life, but you see, I got to know what that power of God was designed to do. this gospel is the power of God, and it was designed to save the soul, renew the mind. It is for your mind. It is for your mind. It is for your emotional well-being. It is for your mind. It is for your emotional well-being. Stop playing spirituality with the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. It will save your mind and your emotions. And let me tell you something. It works every time.
Every time.
I don't know of a time that it has not worked. It has not worked for me. I mean, over these years that we've done the webcast, it saves my soul every time we do a webcast.
Yeah, we're every single time. We're getting saved right now. I feel it. Sean feels
Absolutely.
It. You feel it. Who are listening? Whether you're listening live or on the archive, Michael feels it. Ray feels it. Carla feels it. Folks, here's the thing. This is what we have left. We have our mind left. And the concept of Christianity is you need to get out of your head. You need to get out of your mind and into your soul or into your spirit.
Yeah.
Your spirit is complete. There's nothing to get into your spirit. Every human being has been imputed with righteousness and wisdom and sanctification and redemption. Every human being has that. There is nobody. Here's what I was listening to today, Michael. Your teaching on the reality of what occurred at the cross, which is that prior to the cross, everyone was blinded. Everyone was prohibited from believing according to the prophecy of the prophet Isaiah. After the cross, everybody's heart has had their righteousness, the righteousness of Christ revealed to them in their spirit, in their heart, wherever that is. The problem is that religion and society and our parents and our churches and our authorities and all of our history has blocked that understanding from our heart to our head. What needs to happen now, and what is happening as we speak, is that information needs to get between our ears. And when that happens, salvation occurs. Here is the major problem, is that the church, the Christianity, has confused salvation and redemption. We were taught, when you come to Christ, when you do the Billy Graham walk to the altar, and you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are redeemed and saved. They equate it as the same thing. No, folks. Redemption is a historical fact that took place at the cross over 2,000 years ago. Redemption, or salvation rather, occurs for the human soul as this fact is rehearsed. This fact is meditated upon. This fact is sung to me so beautifully as it was today by Greg Ambergy on the CDs that I listened to from the Gospel Revolution Convention in 2008. What a beautiful thing. What a remarkable thing. If there's anything that is miraculous, if there's anything that is unexplainable in science and in physics, is the fact that this simple, specific message of the redemptive work of this Jewish carpenter from Nazareth could possibly evoke this kind of stability, this kind of salvation for the human soul. But as Michael said, it works 100% of the time. We guarantee it. Money back guarantee. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. We've got Katrina Benham online with us, and we will return with Katrina. Do not go away. We've got more to come as we continue right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
In the beginning, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, male and female, and call them Adam." and it was good. In the fall, the image of God was corrupted, but not forever.
When God created man in his own image, and we're not talking about somebody else creating an image, we're talking about God himself creating man in his own image. And then the fall of man, God knew he would have to destroy his own image. Let me tell you something I know now about the new creation, that your heart is designed by God to suffer, endure, and recover from all loss, no matter how horrific the loss is.
The Image of God. This 6-CD series is available for $48 plus shipping and handling, or download it now for $24 by clicking the download link at gospelrevolution.com. The Image of God. Get your copy today.
Not only do I know what Jackie Barnard looks like in 3D, I also know what Robert Moore looks like live and in person.
Yeah.
Because he was at the Gospel Revolution Summit. And we so thank Robert for everything he has done and continues to do for the Gospel Revolution. This teaching on the image of God, Michael, I just heard you say in that little spot that you now know that the human heart has been prepared to suffer all kinds of loss. And for some reason, I just got saved hearing that. I mean,
yeah.
I know loss is coming. And when I heard that, I got excited about what our potential is for enduring and overcoming loss.
It really is amazing. All of us have experienced loss, and many of us have experienced it in many different degrees and levels. But the issue for me is in coming to grips with that reality that my heart was designed by God to incur, endure, and recover from loss. As far as my personal life is concerned, is one of the most powerful impacts that the gospel has had in my life.
It may be the most powerful impact.
It really could be because
you suffered so much loss. I mean,
yes.
you've suffered, and a lot of people can relate to this who are listening around the planet. I mean, you've suffered incalculable loss. I mean, it's just you've suffered the loss of your family.
Yeah. I know that happened. I don't want to sound cold because I think about my family often, and I do have good thoughts. But that to me is now a historical event. The most powerful thing that will ever happen to you is when heartache comes. The day that it becomes a historical event to you is the greatest day you'll ever have.
Wow.
And this is history for me now. And I cannot tell you the power of placing that in the category that it now appropriately belongs. My heart has recovered. It endured. It got the full blunt. Let me tell you something. I don't claim to be anybody's model of how to receive a blow like that, because I became instantly mentally ill. For several weeks, I could not focus my brain whatsoever. The loss was incalculable. The pain. Who was I going to hurt for that moment? You know, there were so many members of my family involved in this whole horrible situation. And it was not something. I knew that if this stayed my present, I would die. There just is no other. I still know that had it stayed my present, if it had stayed my now, I would have died.
Right.
I didn't want to live. But, you know, it became my history. And the event became my history. My family has not become my history. I still hold them close. This event is history. I hope you can hear what I'm saying, because I don't know how to say it in an eloquent way.
No, no, you could not have said it more eloquently than you just said it. And folks, you guys are experiencing and have experienced tremendous loss too.
Yeah,
and
I
can tell you from firsthand experience with what Michael, and you guys know exactly what Michael's talking about. We don't have time right now to go into detail. If you listen to the webcast, you know exactly what Michael's talking about. By the way, we're in the midst of suffering loss. We all are.
Yeah.
But I know, Michael, that you did nothing to put it into an historical perspective other than stay with the gospel.
Yeah, and I, at the time, I don't even know that I did that very well. Had I understood more that I, in the light that I do now, I would have been more proactive.
Right. No. This is only in the aftermath that we understand this. The webcast and the massive, and you're talking about Michael Williams has been doing this for a quarter century. What wasn't focused on the, no, he wasn't focused on the gospel like we are now. But
right.
In the aftermath of that, it just so happened that the gospel came in a more profound way, even in Michael's life and in my life.
Absolutely.
And this is only in retrospect that we can report this to you. That's why when I just told you the story that I did, I could say to Jeff and I could say to Michael, I need gospel. I need this.
Yeah.
I need this stuff. 'Cause now we know. Now we can recommend it to you. Now Michael can say to you with 100% assurity that this will save your soul. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. We're wanting to hear from you at 1-800. We're laughing. We're happy. Why? Because our souls are getting saved. Hallelujah to you. 1-800-436-3260. That is the number to call. Whether you've called in often or you've never called, we want to hear from you tonight. 1-800-436-3260. That is the toll-free number in Canada and the United States of America. If you're listening outside the U.S. and it's 20 minutes to 10 on the East Coast, we haven't even talked about our theme yet for the webcast. That is very much in line with what happened on the East Coast of the U.S. yesterday. Give us a call at 813-425-5773, 813-425-5773. And now, without any further ado, let us please go to the heartland of the U.S., to Australia's own, the very lovely and talented Katrina Benham. Katrina!
Hello. How are you, Glenn? Hi, Michael.
Hey, Katrina.
I love calling you the Katrina.
Do you?
What's my name? I know. What's up with that?
That's my name.
I kind of feel like, you know, we talked to Saul last week, and now we're talking to Paul. What happened with that?
Right. Well, so I've gone by the name of Kate since I was about 15 years old. And I just thought, and we all were talking about this at Michael's, and we all thought it was a good idea that for my new album, and that I have a new image, and I'm going back to the name Katrina, so it's just going to be Katrina. That's it. No surname.
Well, that's your actual given name, right?
Yes, it is.
When you were a little girl, you were Katrina.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And Ray Ray gave you a very, I think, brilliant suggestion for the title of this album that you just recorded in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which will be Recovering Katrina is what it's going to be. So my artist name is now going to be Katrina, and Recovering. So just those two things together. And actually, when I was coming into Nashville, and my passport was being checked, and I was asked to state my full name, and I said my full name, and the guy said, "Oh, you're that Hurricane Girl." It's like, "Woohoo! Yes, I am. That's what we want."
Yeah, so you are the Hurricane Girl, no doubt about it.
Yes.
And we want to hear all about your adventures in the Music City of Nashville, Tennessee. But I have to, while I have you online, I have to Now, this is not the official recording, folks. It was done in Nashville, but it was a recording that was done at Michael's house. And what is the title of the song? What is it? I love this song. So I could redeem all. Listen up, folks. Your soul's going to say, this is Katrina Benham, So I Could Retrieve All. Right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Do you understand that even if one is lost, then I lose? And so that's why I never gave the human race the right to choose. You were never meant to find the right path on your own. 'Cause I'm the truth and way, and I brought everybody home. 'Cause in matters of eternity, I hardened your heart so none would believe, and I blinded your eyes so you could not see. Oh, for the joy set before me, I want you to see what the law was given for. Condemning everyone so I could redeem all. No, I couldn't risk you spoiling the plan. Not when this global rescue mission rested on just one man. Bringing a punishment that no sin could avoid. And all would be fulfilled when God's image was destroyed. So as they drove the nails in my feet and hands and lifted me up, I drew every man with the entire world in unbelief. God was preparing to express his grief. So when you were all safely tucked in me, the judgment of God came down on that tree, and all the wrath of an angry God flooded my being as I shed my blood. Do you see now what the law was given for? Condemning everyone so I could redeem all. Thick darkness fell mid-afternoon, as the light of the world would be crowned King of Glory soon. Oh, what a picture for all the world to see. Oh, the last Adam reconciling the first Adam's unbelief. And as I opened my mouth with my final breath, a voice like thunder clapped from my chest. The sound of all humanity roaring like a lion and shouting through me. Oh, just three little words, and the power of that statement shook the earth, as one new man was being birthed, and I was creating new heavens and earth. Do you see now what the law was given for? Condemning everyone so I could redeem all. Since that day there's none accusing you, but the religion bearing my name is just so far from the truth. You are humanity that never was before. You are mankind that's never sinned, 'cause you've never been under the law. But Christianity lied to you, said you're justified by the things you do. It's saying there's a judgment coming soon, so it's judging the work of Calvary too. It's saying my blood wasn't good enough. It's saying I'm coming back to clean up. It's saying it's just like it was before. It's saying I didn't fulfill the law. Well, I got some very good news. The law and the Psalms and the prophets too, they speak about me, not about you. The things you've been told are just not true. Do you see now? Is it starting to make sense? You've been taught you're a sinner when you've always been righteous. Do you see now what the law is given for? Condemning everyone so I could redeem all.
11 minutes to the hour. This is WGRR, the Gospel Revolution Radio Network. Katrina, you may sing and write another thousand songs, but there will never be another one more powerful than that. But that says it all.
Yep. I thought that sums everything up.
That pretty much sums it up. And that'll do it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. No, we got a few more minutes. Michael, I got very emotional last week. And I thought about, I thought about that a lot, why that impacted me so strongly. And that's because Katrina is recovering. And when I say Katrina, I don't just mean Katrina Benham. I mean everybody in the gospel. We're recovering from the loss that we suffered in Christianity.
Mm-hmm. And the losses were huge. They're incalculable, actually. From the very first moment you were told you were a sinner, the damage and the darkness and the torture of the mind began for this life. The undoing of the death grip on the heart and mind of the condition of sin, the preaching of sin, when the condition of sin was eradicated 2,000 years ago, is nothing less than one of the greatest miracles that any human being could ever experience. My goal in my lifetime is to see the generation of the righteous. I know that everyone's been righteous from the cross. I so want to see that generation that never gets introduced to sin at all, that never, ever is taught about a angry or wrathful God, that knows that they are one with God and that they are one with every person on this planet. I want to see that generation and see its effect on this planet. And that's what this gospel revolution is about, folks.
Go ahead, Mikey, I'm sorry.
We're not on here just for the entertainment value of each other. There really is a goal here. We want to see the generation of the righteous rise out of this dust heap and out of this garbage heap of Christianity and of all the other religions of the world, and see a generation that knows from birth, and they're told and reassured from birth, that they are righteous and holy. They are endued with wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption from the moment they're conceived into this planet, and will never be any other way. I just know that that is the most transforming message that could ever be on this planet. And folks, you're all a part of it. Kate's songs are a part of this. Every time you share this, that is what we are marching toward, if you will, is to see that generation that knows they were never, ever, ever born in sin.
No doubt. And it's one of the things that motivates me one more time to parent, is to have somebody part of that generation. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. We have Katrina Benham on with us online from the great state of Illinois, and Michael Williams on with us from stormy Houston, Texas. And also, let us welcome online now a fellow musician of Kate Benham's, Katrina Benham. Please welcome online our maestro, the senior correspondent from Cincinnati, Ohio. I know he's been enjoying the discussion and the music, Greg Amberge. Gregory.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going wonderful. You know, Michael mentioned the garbage heap of history, referring to Christianity. Ronald Reagan called the Soviet Union would be on the ash heap of history. But I like Michael's description of Christianity much better, the garbage heap of history. And
the Gehenna of history.
The Gehenna of history,
yes.
If you will. We know that when Yeshua prophesied that the religious leaders, the Pharisees, if they did not change their minds, if they did not repent when Rome surrounded Jerusalem, that they would be killed and thrown into hell and burned with everlasting fire. We know he wasn't talking about a place of eternal punishment of fire. He was talking about the garbage heap in Jerusalem. They got rid of the garbage.
But wait a minute, Glenn.
What?
How are you going to get people to do the things you want them to do if you destroy the hell doctrine?
Yeah, but I don't want them to do anything anymore.
Not even give money to the Gospel Revolution?
Not even give money to the... I only want them to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. How sweet.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Katrina, say hello to Gregory.
Hi, Greg. So nice to talk to you.
I like the Katrina thing. That's very nice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's more than nice. You guys, now, as great as it's been to listen to Katrina's music and as great as it's been to listen to Greg via CD from the Gospel Revolution Convention, I cannot wait till you guys are in a band together somewhere in the future playing and singing together. That will be nice.
I would love that.
That would be great, yes.
And here's an interesting thing. Greg plays all the time with the Fraser River Band in the Cincinnati area. We can say secular venues. We can say bars and restaurants and pubs and situations like that. Now, Greg, Katrina is actually branching out. In fact, as I understand Katrina, some of the songs on the Recovering Katrina album will be of a more secular nature.
That's right. I wrote two songs after convention or after the summit and before recording, so they weren't even 5 days old, and I wanted to get them on there as well, so they're both on there. So I am going more in that direction.
Greg, what advice can you give Katrina about performing before people who aren't experienced in Christianity or with the gospel?
Oh, there's really none needed. I mean, when you, it's way easier to talk about the real gospel in a bar than it is in a church. it's way easier.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say, whatever's in there, you know, write it and sing it. Because it's going to change. And what, you know, I listen to a lot of singer-songwriters, guys like Todd Snyder in Nashville, people like that. And he writes songs that he has no idea, but they are just rich with gospel truth, you know.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And they're obscene and profane, some of them. And
according to who?
According to you know, Christianity's standards of morality or whatever.
Right. You know what, Michael, you know what I think is obscene and profane? When people insult the work of the cross, that I think is taking God's name in vain.
Yeah.
I don't think Lady Gaga takes God's name in vain, ever.
Oh, far from it.
This is Glenn Klein online. We've got Greg Amberge online with us from Cincinnati, Katrina Benham in the great state of Illinois, and Michael Williams, the president and founder of said Gospel Revolution in Houston. Has the storm calmed down, Michael?
It has. We're getting these beautiful, off in the distance flashes. The skies are heavy with gray clouds, so the whole sky lights up whenever a flash of lightning takes place in the distance. And, you know, you hear the drips coming off the roof and little rumbles occasionally. It's just absolutely perfectly calm and still now. It's the calm after the storm. It's beautiful.
I'm glad you're enjoying. Katrina, please tell Gregory, how many songs are in Recovering Katrina?
There's 10.
All right, so please tell Gregory, you went to Nashville, how long it took to go in studio and to record a 10-song album.
Right. So I had a bass player who also played guitar, and I had a drummer and piano player who also went over the top and played strings, and I just played guitar along with them in the initial when we did a scratch vocal, just so they knew where we're up to. If anyone messed anything up, we went back and redid it. But we did 10 songs in 2 days. It wasn't even don't think it was even 8 hour days in there. And then they just mixed on the third day. So they just thought it was hilarious that we'd made an album that sounds this good in like 2 days. And it really sounds awesome. And I think, well, I'm glad it's better than anything I've done before. And I hope it continues in that direction. But it was just so fun. I love doing it.
Greg, an album in 2 days in Nashville. That's unheard of.
Well, the guys, you know, when we had our record deal back in the 90s, I was in Nashville one night, and we went to McDonald's, and across from the Opryland Hotel, they have a little low-power radio station, and they were having open mic night where you could get up and sing two songs, and you got a free value meal. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is going to be funny. And the first guy got up with his guitar, and he was incredible. And the second guy got up, and he blew me away. And I looked over at our bass player, and I said, we have a record deal? And because there's so many incredible musicians in Nashville that are waiting tables and, you know, working in a valet somewhere, parking your cars, that it wouldn't surprise me at all that you could have a great CD in 2 days.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's certainly true. They're just everywhere. Everyone's a musician. Everyone's a singer, it just seems like. You just speak to any people doing any job. And yeah.
It's Nashville.
It is wonderful.
Well, Greg, we were talking earlier about suffering loss, and you called me earlier in the week and said that you thought you might have to put your puppy, Coco, down. And for those of you guys who have suffered that loss of a longtime family pet, a family member having to go through that, which I have gone through and never had before I did and could not relate until I did. And your mom and dad that you've spoken about before, your wonderful Christian folks who came over to say goodbye to Coco, your mom said something at that, what she thought was going to be her last night seeing Coco. As it turned out, Coco's doing okay and seems to be, speaking of recovering Katrina, recovering Coco seems to be going well with the medication that the vet has on. But what did your mom say about prayer that night? Was very eye-opening and pretty damn cool.
It was kind of funny. She was joking around. She was sitting there on the floor. And my mom, you know, she's in her 70s. I won't say how old she is. She'd probably shoot me if she found out I said that. But she's sitting down on the floor with Coco, you know, just petting him. And she said in the last week that there had been some people at her church that had pets that were sick. And she said, I prayed for a dog and it died. And I prayed for a cat and it died. She said, so I'm not going to pray for you, Coco.
She said she was not going to pray.
She said she was not going to pray
this,
for
this
it.
This is a woman that would have gone to her grave believing in prayer. And I saw that as a wonderful witness or, what's the word? I can't think of the word.
Testimony.
A testimony, an example of honesty. That may not have been there, Greg, without your experience with the gospel.
Yeah, I was driving Coco to the vet, I was totally convinced that I wasn't taking him back home again. I mean, everybody had said goodbye to him, and, you know, my ex had come over and spent time with him, and she actually came to the room when for the examination when we thought we were going to put him down. The gospel was more real to me that day than it's been maybe ever. Just because I was experiencing something that I hadn't ever experienced before. And I don't know. It's like I experienced the loss without having to experience it. You know, wow. I know at some point that loss, you know, should I live a few more years, he's not going to live too much longer. He's about 14 years old now. But the gospel was just very real to me that day.
Why do you think that is, Greg? In retrospect,
well, because the whole thing about the rational, logical, vital, mental disposition, where you don't bargain with God, you face things that are there as they come, not in these irrational kinds of ways we used to do. You know what I'm talking about? You remember when we were in the Word of Faith movement, and we actually, or just classic evangelicalism, when we faced death or the loss of something close, there was this whole sense of, well, maybe if I did this, or maybe if I prayed this way, or maybe if I fasted, or maybe if I did this or this or this, my circumstances would change. It was comforting to me not to have to deal with that irrational thought.
You know, it's like, Michael, and this is one of the worst things that can happen to people, is when they're in a place like Greg was, in a crisis, and then they bargain with God in a so-called prayer, and then it works out in their favor, and then they're left dealt with the bargain, they're left to deal with the bargain that they left with God. That's one of the worst things that can happen to people.
I think just my response, Greg, to what you're saying, I'm sitting here just absorbing what you're saying, and you're saying so much, it's hard to really bring it all to the surface. But what you've just described to me, you know, bargaining is one of the steps of processing grief.
Right.
And right. What you just described is that you passed over the grief process and accepted the loss,
yeah,
before it was ever there. This is amazing. You know, I didn't think a dog story would turn into something like this, but the reason the gospel was more powerful to you then than at any other moment, it may sound a little strange to people to hear somebody say that the gospel was more real at the moment his dog was going to be put down than at any other time in his life, is because, Greg, you experienced the power of God.
Yes.
You experienced the power of God, and it literally is in your heart so strong that you skipped the psychology of the world, if you will, grief process, and you embraced the loss.
Right.
And that's just powerful. I don't think that we could have taken a more simple story to communicate the most powerful message on earth.
Yes.
The gospel works. Now, folks, when we're talking to you about skipping the grief process, that's not denial. That is
right.
In full ability of embracing the moment, embracing the loss. It's far from denial. I don't even know that I have the words to sufficiently address what you've said tonight, because it is really, you have brought us a little story about Coco and your love for Coco and 14-year relationship with this pet, and obviously a very loving relationship that you've had. And you have described to us tonight how the gospel skipped the grief process for you.
It's
just amazing.
One of the things that we're all experiencing together is what our dear brother Richard Mull is experiencing right now.
Mike, can I say something really quick before talk about Richard?
Okay, go ahead.
I would correct what you're saying, and I wouldn't say I skipped the grief process. I would say I got to the important part of the grief process faster.
Yes. That's a good way to put it.
I didn't go through that whole, you know, the whole bargaining denial thing. I went right to the just experiencing the loss, feeling
yes.
the love for my dog, and able to say goodbye to him, and it shortens the process. It shortens the pain.
Absolutely.
Not only that does it shorten the process, but as you so beautifully said, Greg, you experience the power of God, the power of the gospel, in a way.
Yeah.
Here's a guy that's been in this gospel thing for a while now, folks.
Yeah.
And what I was going to say about Richard was, here he is facing, you know, the greatest crisis in his life. And I know that if he was online with us right now, he would say, Michael, that he's experiencing the gospel in the most powerful way he ever has.
Absolutely. I know that to be true.
Which is an incredible thing. Folks, we cannot recommend this gospel more to you tonight. Wherever you are around the planet, wherever you're listening from, consider this gospel on an ongoing basis. It will be to the saving of your soul, and it will impact the people in your life in ways just like we talked about with Greg's mom, who's been in Christianity for, well, most of her 70-plus years on the planet. And that's a good thing. That's a very, very good thing. That's a great legacy to leave behind, is the impact of the truth, the impact of the power of God. I can go to sleep tonight, and if I go to sleep tonight forever, I can go to sleep tonight at peace. And wow, I'm pretty much speechless, which doesn't happen to me very often. Katrina, you still with us?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I am.
I bet you feel better than you did when we started the webcast.
Feel better?
Yes. Better. Better.
Better?
Better. B-E-T-T-E-R. Since we're spelling...
I do feel better. Thank you.
Yeah. Since we're spelling tonight, it seems to be...
Yes, we are.
The Gospel Revolution spelling bee... Yeah, better. For those of you in Australia
you.
And New Zealand, it's better. B-E-T-T-E-R.
How cute.
All right, you guys.
Yeah.
Greg, you got anything else?
No. No, that's pretty much it. I'm just grateful for, as we've talked lately, that learning the gospel is having a really profound impact on just my day-to-day life now. And I think I spent about the first 5 years going, what does this mean for my life?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we were asking that question. We were calling up Mike or calling Glenn.
I remember.
Going, okay, I get this. You know, but
what do we do now?
What's the practical application?
Yeah.
I think we're getting there.
Yeah, now we know it means everything.
Yeah.
That's what it means. All right, you guys. Thank you. Call
love
us
you,
again.
Kate.
Thanks a lot.
There's
love
Katrina
Bye,
Battle
Greg.
Calling
love
us from the land of Lincoln in Illinois. Greg Ambergy from not too far away in Ohio.
Yeah.
Kate the lyricist. Greg the maestro. Of the Gospel Revolution. That's quite a music team in the making, ladies and gentlemen.
No doubt.
And Katrina enjoying a relationship founded at the Gospel Revolution Summit. And so is Jackie Barnard, who writes to us that if Billy Thompson is willing, he will do exactly what we recommended. By the way, Jackie and Billy, who met in Houston at the Gospel Revolution Convention, will be together at the end of September. He's going to Arizona. We now have reported to us, which is very thrilling to our souls.
Absolutely.
Good for you, Jackie and Billy.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
No doubt.
Oh, my God.
I'm full.
Yeah, that's exactly what I feel. I'm full. I am full of the gospel. I am ready to call it a night. Michael, thank you for being involved in saving our souls. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. It's thank you guys for everybody that called in and everybody that's listening. We really do love you. My goodness, think about you guys often, and my mind really does run through this gospel on a pretty much a 24-hour basis, and regardless of what I'm doing or where I am. And in the process of that, my mind does run across the people of the gospel revolution, and it makes for a good day for me.
It makes for a really good day.
So thank you for being in my thoughts, and I appreciate being there with you guys.
We also want to thank everybody that has been emailing us. We got a great email tonight from Cliff in Gainesville, Georgia. You guys, we're going to be doing in another couple of weeks another email extravaganza, and we'll be sharing your writing. Feel free to email us at any time at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. You can email the office throughout the week at freedom@gospelrevolution.com, and please visit the website there at gospelrevolution.com on a frequent basis. That's where things are happening at all times. We want to thank Jeff Robertson for administrating that site and for everything else that he's doing as the Secretary of Defense of said revolution. Want to also thank Jackie Barnard for calling tonight at work, apparently, from Manchester, Tennessee. Katrina Benham from Champaign, yeah, Illinois. Greg Ambergy from Mainesville, Ohio. Sean O'Halloran for spinning the dials here in the studio in the Bay of the Holy Spirit. And apparently, Michael, we never even got to our theme tonight about the earthquake in diverse places. Well,
that's quite all right.
We'll save that for another time. Just know, folks, that the earthquakes and the rumors of wars have nothing to do with the end times. The end time already occurred over 2,000 years ago.
Yay.
On this Wednesday night in late August, you and everyone else, including Muammar Gaddafi, wherever the hell he is, are good to go on this particular Wednesday. Thanks, Mikey. Yeah.
Thanks, Glenn. Love you.
Love you, too, and love Carla. Get that honey and tea ready, baby. I am ready to come home. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!